Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. If you folks can move up a little bit. Brothers can move up a little. We have plenty of space here. You're doing the social distancing, but still, there's plenty of space. I bear witness that there is no God but the one God, Allah, the creator of the universe. To Him belongs the command, to Him belongs the creation, and He has power over all things. And I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah and the last of messengers and prophets. And I send salutations on him, his family, his companions, and all the prophets and messengers right from the beginning, from Noah to Abraham to Moses to Jesus to Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm going to talk about two issues today. Number one is about repentance. That Quran calls it Tawbatun Nusuh, which is sincere repentance. Now, many Muslims, not specifically pointing to anyone here, but many Muslims whom I meet when I travel around the country, they think that repentance means that you can, if you have sinned, if you have made something which is a violation of Islam, you can say, may Allah forgive me, and that's it. And then next time it happens, then again you can say, astaghfirullah, may Allah forgive me, and that's it. So the idea of repentance is not clear, tawbah, not clear to many of our brothers and sisters. Actually, this morning, one of the great scholars of Islam, whom I knew personally, my brother Munawwar Hassan, a leader of Jamaat-e-Islami in Pakistan, he died. And I was thinking that instead of mourning him, I should talk about repentance, because that was one of the things he used to teach. Okay, our brother is there for security, thank you. So he used to teach about repentance, so instead of just being sad, let's try to teach about what he used to teach. That Tawbatun Nasuh, which the Quran calls sincere repentance, those are the words of the Quran, Tawbatun Nasuh. It's a very serious business. Many people do not realize how it works. It does not mean that one can just say, may Allah forgive me, and just go back to doing the same thing, or not do it for a while and then do it again. No, it doesn't work like that. Firstly, that sincere repentance, according to the teachings of the Prophet Muhammad, means that you will not do that again. That's number one. And number two, that you will make up for what you did. That means if you damage someone's property or injure someone's character, that you will ask that person for forgiveness and not do that again. And if it was a sin of the mind, you know, bad things we think about. Mentally also we have to cleanse ourselves. If our tawbah, our repentance is sincere, we have to cleanse our minds and thoughts, which is not easy in a very corrupt society like we have in America, or in many other parts of the world now, because America is now spreading out everywhere. And that is, for example, pornography, thinking about haram things with women and stuff like that. All that, if it is not cleansed, and we committed the sin of doing something bad like that, and we say, well, I say to Allah, I'm sorry, I will not do it. But it's in your mind. Unless that mind is also cleansed, your tawbah is not nusuh, not sincere. And you know that Allah Almighty We can't fool Allah Almighty. He knows what we are about and what are our intentions. That is also the very first hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, and that is, actions shall be judged by intentions. Now we can't know anyone's intentions, but Allah can know. So that, since tawbah does not work if we don't implement it fully and make up for the damages we might have done, and to purify ourselves and not do it again. Of course, we are human beings, we might do it again. And then again we do tawbah and try reform. But if it becomes a game that we keep on doing the same bad things, that we support the oppressors, but we come to the Muslims and say we are with you, then we go to the oppressors and we say we are with you, and then we say to the Muslims, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I won't do it again. And then again, go and do the same thing. That is not acceptable. And gradually, if this, and many people don't even do the repentance. They just in their mind they think, you know, that was bad, I won't do it again. So you have to express it clearly, make two rakas, say to Allah Almighty, I made a mistake, I won't do it again. You know? If I beat my wife through no fault of hers or even for a fault, then I must firstly say sorry to her. And then make sure that it doesn't happen again. But if that is sort of like, oh, saying to the police, I love her, I won't do this again, and then you do it again. In Islam, it doesn't work like that. So according to this brother who passed away this morning here, he taught many things, great scholar as Abul Hasan. But one of the things is that tawbah is not something easy. It's not something flip. And if we keep on doing tawbah and then repeating, keep on doing tawbah, then repeat, on and on. Or it becomes like, okay, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. Or don't even say it to anyone. Or you don't fulfill the damages done to the other person. Then gradually, according to the scholars, many scholars don't want like to say this, that you slip into kufr. That means you're sort of playing with God. You can't do that. Because God can always, Allah Almighty is, you know, forgiving, merciful, compassionate. We know that. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We say that before every surah. In the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. He is merciful, but He is not to be quibbled with, not to be toyed with. Because also He is Al-Wahid Al-Qahhar, the one who is powerful in punishment. So we can slip into kufr. One brother was telling me on in the internet, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on the internet, especially Facebook, that smoking is a sin. I said, brother, it is a sin if you repent. Otherwise, it is opening you to kufr. So he said, no, brother, you are extremist. Finally, he ended up calling me almost a terrorist. I said, no, brother, this is... Did the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ever smoke? He didn't. Right? Did he go on drugs? Of course, Quran says al-khamr, that alcohol. Doesn't say so many other things. You can go on drugs? No. If the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the entire community of the Sahaba did not smoke, and this brother does, and says, I'm sorry, and then he does it again, because it's very difficult to get off smoking. Gradually, it becomes a condition of non-repentance. And if there is no repentance, the next step is kufr. You're actually denying Allah Almighty while you're claiming that you're Muslim. It's very difficult for people to digest this. Because there are certain weak hadiths which say that if you say La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, you're going to heaven. No, it's not easy like that. Quran always comes first. Al-Aqaba. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْأَقَبَى. What is Islam? It is Al-Aqaba, the uphill task. It's not easy. Not you can just let it slide and everything comes out okay, and because you recited the kalama, you are going to paradise. No. People give their lives for Islam. Keep people sacrifice. The Sahaba, the Tabaeen, the Taba Tabaeen. Sacrificing everything is not just one Sahabi. 100,000 Sahaba. Read the Surah 9, verse 100. It points out what is the Maqame Sahaba. How great they are. They are the vanguard of Islam. And if none of them ever smoked, and I'm just giving you an example, I'm sure there are many other examples like this. And I say, okay, I smoked, I'm sorry, won't do it again. And you know, it's destroying my body, it's destroying my soul, you know, and it's also making my company terrible with all the smell. I won't do it again. And then I do it again. And then I do it again. And then I do it again, right? But it's so difficult to get rid of that addiction of the cigarettes. That is why, brothers, this way to Al-Jannah, it's not easy, it is life forever. You are saying that after passing out of this world, everything you want Allah will give you. And you can't even do the tawbah properly? No, it's not easy. Al-Aqaba, the uphill task. What is the uphill task? To free the slave. Who is the slave? We don't have people in chains and all, except in some places. Mostly, our slavery is mental. We are slaves of drugs, slaves of alcohol, slaves of fornication, slaves of so many things. Not just addicted, we are trapped. And we always say, you know, Allah is forgiving and merciful and everything will be okay. Not that. That is why if we follow the tawbah routine, what's supposed to be the real tawbatun nusuh, then we are going to be, and inshallah this community is like that, a very strong community. You know, one of the wives of the Prophet made a little mistake. And the Prophet ﷺ was told about it in Surah Tahreem. It was not a major sin or anything like that. But Muslims, especially their leaders, have to be at a standard which is not ordinary. So we have to do the real tawbah. If the entire community of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ and the Sahaba did not smoke, and we insist that, oh, it's no big deal, brother. Where does it say in Quran you should not smoke? No, it does not say in the Quran that you should not smoke, but also it does not say that you can smoke. That's where I'm going to go into the second part of the khutbah. What is the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What we think, not we mean generality of Muslims. What we think is sunnah and what is the real sunnah? May Allah forgive our sins and our shortcomings. Wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi majma'in. Let us send salutations on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family and companions. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Amma sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidan Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Amma barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidan Majid. Oh Allah, bless Muhammad and his people, companions, family, and us. We are also his people. Oh Allah, bless us and forgive us as you blessed and forgave the people of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So dear brothers and sisters, second part of the khutbah. Keep it brief. I know we don't have much time. Sisters, can you hear me at the back? Please raise your hand if you can hear me. Thank you. Sunnah. Beautiful word. Sunnah, mostly we think sunnah means the extra prayers, which are not obligatory. Two rakats, fajr, right? Before and after, dhuhr, maghrib, isha, couple extra rakats. These are all, we say this is sunnah. And we do it, which is very good, it's recommended. But it's not obligatory. So we say it's not obligatory, but it's good for you. Then you have keeping the beard. That's good. Keeping the beard. You know, cleaning your hair, keeping clean clothes, doing the wudu properly. All this, we say, oh, that's sunnah. Yeah. So we, in a way, ignore the real sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam while focusing on the outward directions of the way he did things. Now if you go into Surah Al-Qiyamah, you will find that Allah Almighty, even he, the first revelations came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to memorize them as the verses came down. It was very difficult because he was not used to it. It was the early part of the revelation. And Allah says to him, don't move your tongue to learn to, you know, lisanika, your tongue, to try to memorize. It's our task, Allah says to the Prophet. That's our task, to teach you this and to also explain it to you and also help you to implement it. Now those verses about how to explain what Allah says, this means or that means, or how to implement it, it's not written in the Quran. That is the sunnah, how to implement. Allah says, food should be halal wa tayyab. Not only should be permissible in Islam, it should also be good for you. We think that we can go and eat from McDonald's as long as we are not eating pork, or sometimes they think pork, beef, we will not eat and so on. And the result is, there is a health problem in our communities. We eat all kinds of stuff because we are always in a hurry. So what does tayyib mean? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained that. That is the real sunnah. How you should translate Quran into real living life. I'm going to give you a much more serious example. You know that when the command orders came from the government that this COVID-19 has come and closed down the masjids. All the masjids closed down except this one, alhamdulillah. Might be there are one or two others. So the kuffar gave you the orders and you closed down your masjid. Did the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba ever close down any masjid? No, never. There's not even one example. Only one masjid, which was Masjid al-Dirar, Quran mentions, which was actually meant to oppose Islam, that was closed down. You're not allowed to close down masjid. Of course, we should tell people that if you're not well, if you're sneezing, if you're coughing, you know, don't come to the masjid. Don't come with bad breath, you know, with the, as they say, with the onions and all after you eat and come clean to the masjid. But not that you can close down the masjid. This is the home of house of Allah. How you can close down the masjid? Where does it say you can close down the masjid? No, it's haram. Only kuffar close down masjids. Many Muslims don't know this. So when the orders came, they rushed to close down all the masjids. But they never closed down their communication or opposition or support for the government. They go and bomb the Muslims, we don't say a word. They go and support Israel, we don't say a word. They say that homosexuality is okay, we don't speak. But when they say close down the masjid, we rush and close down the masjid. Alhamdulillah, this masjid remained open. That's why it's very important to see that our brothers, two of our brothers have joined the Shura, and through their efforts, the masjid remained open. And Brother Abdul Shakur sitting right here, Brother Ridwan also, they have joined the Shura. Because of their efforts, the masjid remained open. Keeping the masjid open when there is no obstacle, that is Islam. Again, Surah Tawbah talks about who are the people who are supposed to maintain the masajid. It gives a number of things, those who pray and so on, but also says, who don't fear anyone other than Allah Almighty. If you fear others than Allah Almighty, min dun Allah, then you should not be in charge of the masjid. So these brothers, they have kept it open. I also came here, we have khutbah several times. You know, I am vulnerable to this virus because I am 77 years old, somewhat obese, marginally diabetic, high blood pressure. I should be the first to get it and die, right? But who is going to die and when? That is in the hands of Allah Almighty. We cannot decide. Of course, we should take precautions. Social distancing, you know, wearing masks, all the things, you know, washing your hands, all these were taught by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba long time back. Keep away from women and so on. You know, that's why there's distancing. You know? So, sunnah. We forget the major sunnahs. For example, a Muslim who prays and fasts, but when the time for battle comes, he goes and supports the kuffar. In every Muslim country. That is why the Muslims are in such bad shape. They all claim to be Muslims. They have beards, they pray, they fast. Eid al-Adha will come and they will do sacrifice. All the animals will be in the streets. But American, British armies, Rawafis, all those sectarians, they come in. And our Muslims either don't fight them or support them. This is kufr. You can pray and fast as much as you want. But if you are supporting the enemies of Islam, that is against the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never supported the kuffar. And let alone supporting, Surah Al-Hud tells us that even cooperation with the kuffar, oppressors, zalimun, that's the word used, those who do zulm, if they can even be Muslims in name. Any cooperation with the oppressors taking us to hell. You can read it up, Surah Al-Hud, I think verse number is either 111 or 113, I can't remember it right now. But it's very easy to find. Kuffars, you're going straight to hell, regardless of whether you're Muslims or not. So dear brothers and sisters, we must study more. We have four khatibs. Alhamdulillah, we give every school of thought. We are not against any school of thought which believes in finality of prophethood. But we cannot violate the Quran. We cannot violate the Sunnah. And still say, okay, we are Muslims because I said the kalama. Another thing is that Shura, Quran says, Amrahum Shura Bainahum. All that the Muslims do, all their Amr, is by mutual consultation. Allah even commanded the Prophet that you should do Shura, although he was receiving revelation. Amrahum Shura Bainahum. So, if you're not doing Shura, we don't talk to our wives, we don't talk to our children. We do things that sort of impose on our sisters and our children, and then we wonder why they are rebelling against us. The children don't obey the parents. Because you never did Shura with them. It's nothing, they think it's none of my business what you're doing, right? You never talk to me. Amrahum Shura Bainahum. It is by mutual consultation, all their affairs of the Muslims. So dear brothers and sisters, now that we have the Shura in place, we had a number of prominent people not here for 3 months or 4 months. We have now, these brothers have joined the Shura. This also means that if you want to do anything in the masjid, just out of politeness and discipline of the masjid, go through the Shura. You might be doing something good, but still, if you want to have a disciplined and organized Jamaat, you must go through the Shura, and the Shura is there. And these brothers, they have taken a lot of risks, you know that. I don't want to keep repeating their names, like Brother Abdul Shakur and Brother Ridwan and so on, Sister Ashira. Through this risky months, they have kept the masjid open. You know, you could die. You could catch one of these things. They did it. They did it. They kept the place open. So now we can't just say, okay, you are in the Shura, but I'm going to do what I want. No, you have to go through the Shura. So please remember this. This has to be implemented, that we have to have Shura. And we have to have whatever happens in the masjid through the Shura, not just go ahead and do it. And say, oh, it's good, I'm doing what I'm doing, it's good. I know it's good, but this is a masjid with a Shura. That's why it's important that you go through the Shura. So dear brothers and sisters, the Sunnah which we ignore, the real major Sunnah, how you should live. Not just how you should just do wudu, you know. You should not, for example, cast doubts on the decency and morality of a sister if she's just talking to someone in public. Even the wife of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Aisha Siddiqa, may Allah be pleased with her, such are human beings. She was the target of gossip. And that's why Surah An-Nur's first few verses were revealed. Why did you think like this? That your sister is doing something corrupt because she was talking to this man? No. That's wrong. No one is going to blame you. If you're talking to a non-Muslim woman, even. You know, every day we talk to a non-Muslim woman. Go to grocery store, you're talking to a non-Muslim woman. Go to bank, non-Muslim woman, right? Post office, non-Muslim woman. You talk to them. But if someone talks to a Muslim sister, I'm not saying that they should be alone. I know there are restrictions on that. Oh my God! Your deen is in danger. Here, a little bit of hair is showing, and you are talking to this brother. It implies you think the Muslim is corrupt. No, this is not right. That's why I will conclude with this verses from the Quran. وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْدُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْدٍ يَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنكَرِ ويقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة ويأتون الله ورسوله أولئك هم المفلحون. That is the believing men and the believing women.
are each other's protecting friends and guardians. Many people focus on 434 in Surah Nisa, that the men are protectors of the women. That is for husband and wife, not for you. You can't be the protector of my wife. No. This is for the general Muslim community. The believing men and the believing women are each other's protecting friends and guardians. So we should be kind to each other, we should be compassionate, we should be helpful, and not gossip, and not say things which are indisciplined, which show that we don't trust each other. Of course, if there is any special problem, something really outrageous going on, we have the shura, go and tell them. And I think our Imam is here today also, you tell him what is troubling you. Don't tell other people, whoosh, he is doing such and such, or she is doing such and such. Talk to those who are responsible. So, that's how the Mujahideen are. That's the difference between the Mujahideen and the rest of the Ummah. The Mujahideen, they confront the oppressors, and more they are defeating them. Notice that America is now right, getting ready to withdraw from Afghanistan. Superpower withdrawing from a country where they don't have proper water supply. People go around in sandals on the rocky hills, and they are defeating this superpower. How? Because Islam is winning. Mujahideen are different from people who say we are Muslims and then they go and support the Kuffar. I'll say this is the final thing. Don't want to offend anyone, but this is the only country, America, where the Pentagon, which is the killer of the Muslims, is holding prayers, and people work for the Pentagon and pray. They pray, they think they're Muslims. But what is the Pentagon? It is killing Muslims all over the world. So may Allah have mercy on us. We should try to understand this ummah of 1.8 billion. Why it cannot defeat the kuffar? Because they are not following the real sunnah. You don't even read the Quran. Halal wa tayyib. I don't know what it means. I can eat whatever I want. It's halal. So may Allah forgive our sins and our shortcomings. Wa akhur da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wa iqamat as-salat. And there will be